You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening and welcome back for another edition of Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, my lovable and cuddly little assistant, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening, sir.
Well, the holidays are upon us. We want to wish everybody that's listening a very happy holiday season.
Holidays.
And hope that you're safe, travel well, be with family, friends, have some fun, relax, enjoy your life. We also want to thank you for spending the last year with us. We're approaching rapidly. Tim, can you believe it's been a year since we've been on the air now?
I know, and we're Fergalicious, baby.
Yes, oh, yeah. We are. We are Fergalicious.
I'm trying to work that into my vocabulary.
Is that your new catchphrase? Tim, he's Fergalicious.
Exactly.
So, again, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being a part of our lives for the last year and sticking with us. We appreciate it. And I also want to thank you for coming out to the trips that we've been doing. We've got a lot of other fantastic trips that we're working on for this year as well. Right now, as I said, we do have the Queen Mary trip almost completely sold out. I've got about 10 tickets left to the Queen Mary trip. If you're interested, you can go to our site at darknessradio.com, click on trips, and take a look. You can go out with Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters, Donna and Lisa from Ghost Hunters, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous. You've got, not Peter Jackson, Peter Jackson directed King Kong, Peter James, the psychic and medium that you've seen on the TV show Sightings, over 41 episodes he was involved with. He'll be there to talk to us about the ghosts of the Queen Mary. We also have authors Rosemary Ellen Guiley, J. Allen Danilek. We've got demonologist and parapsychologist and psychologist Adam Bly will be on hand as well. We've got just a fantastic lineup. You're going to have a great time. You get the entire weekend, well, actually the entire time that you're there, which is Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and all the investigations and one meal cooked by the expert chefs aboard the Queen Mary. We'll be getting a big, huge meal. We're also going to have a charity auction to raise money for charity checks. So please join us if you're interested. We also have another trip up for the return to the Stanley, which will be going on in March, and that's March 29th through the 31st. We've got a great lineup. You can check out all the information there. Those tickets are moving fast. We also want to welcome our friends and thank our friends out at WNJC 1360 AM out in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Thanks for having us on out there with you this evening. And before we get into the show, I do want to make a mention, please, if you haven't heard from last week's show, we are working with the lovely ladies, Donna LaCroix, Lisa Duwalaby, and Paula Donovan. You've seen them on the TV show Ghost Hunters. They're TAPS members, but they've put out a calendar to help benefit breast cancer and breast cancer awareness. So the portion of the proceeds are going to breast cancer research. And it's a really fantastic calendar. It's got the three ladies, beautiful ladies, on the calendar. They are autographed by each one of them. They are specially numbered. It's a great opportunity to help out an awesome cause. And you can go to, help me out with this, Tim, again, is it
divasofdarkness.net.
That's it, divasofdarkness.net, and you can go there for all the information and get this calendar. And Ray is a photographer and works with Scars Magazine, does beautiful pictures. You're going to absolutely love it, and it goes to a really great cause, so make sure you pick that up. Now we're going to start off the show this evening. We want to welcome to the darkness on the edge of town, Robin Pyatt Bellamy, and she is a paranormal researcher living in Toronto, Ontario area, and she's originally from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which, Tim, as you know, that's the home of Mothman. She lectures each year at the Mothman Festival to crowds eager to hear about the truth behind the events of the 1960s, and she has specialities in apparitions, hauntings, cryptozoology. She's a consultant for Paranormal Studies and Investigations Canada, which you can check out that website at www.psican.com. And Robin recently published Haunt Cuisine, an eclectic mix of recipes and ghost stories from all over North America. And Robin also recently appeared on Sci-Fi Investigates, the Mothman episode, and she teaches a paranormal research in Canada. So if you are interested in her book, you can find it on our website and click the link. It'll take you there to order a copy of her book, Haunt Cuisine. And we'd like to welcome to the show this evening, Miss Robin Bellamy. Good evening, Robin.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much for joining us here this evening. And you know, we've had the show on, as I mentioned at the top of the show here, going on a year, and one of the topics that we have yet to crack is getting into the Mothman. Now, I know there was a somewhat successful movie that was out about, what, 3 years ago, starring Richard Gere, that was loosely based on the real, or purportedly real, story of what happened in the 60s with the Mothman. Is that correct?
The key word there is loosely.
Okay, exactly. Well, it's Richard Gere. It can't be real factual, I don't think.
Well, there you go.
So, why don't you educate us a little bit? First of all, Mothman.
Mothman.
Is he moth? Is he man? What is he?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Mothman is something that was seen beginning in West Virginia in the early 1960s. It has been seen, we think the same creature has been seen for centuries all over the world. But there was what they call a flap, which is a bunch of sightings all in one area in the mid-1960s in the Point Pleasant, West Virginia area. Mothman is reported to be about 7 feet tall, and has the body of a man and wings. He's charcoal gray, black, depends on who you talk to. But the most remarkable feature seems to be his glowing red eyes.
Wow, so he sounds like a real handsome guy.
Yeah, he's really scary.
Yeah, it sounds like. What is his purpose? Does he suck blood? Does he capture naughty little children? Does he pull Santa's sleigh? What does he do?
He mostly just scares people. There are people who believe that he comes to warn of a tragic event. There are reports of Mothman sightings around Chernobyl, even 9/11. It seems that he appears at some point before a tragic event. In Point Pleasant's case, it was the collapse of the main artery called the Silver Bridge, which killed 45 people.
Okay. Now, has this been reported by an eclectic group of people? I mean, are you getting just the, you know, are you getting the drunks that are seeing it? Are you getting doctors, policemen, lawyers, anybody of you know, merit that you can actually say, well, this is, you know, I mean, government officials, hookers, who's seeing this Mothman?
Interestingly, it seems to be the non-drunks.
Okay.
Usually it's very normal people. The Point Pleasant sightings were by regular citizens, all adults, all respectable people. They're not what you would expect. They're not people who believe that they're psychic or people who believe that they've been abducted by aliens or things like that. They're just your average Joe off the street that get visited by this bizarre creature.
All right. And it only happens before. So he scares people, but he seems to be there to help, or not even really help, just as a foreshadow to some horrible event.
There are some who believe that. Now, there is another group of people who think that he is not related to the events at all. So it's a really, really big mystery. There are lots of theories about this guy, and they can go in any direction. So pick a direction, and we'll talk about it.
Well, why don't you tell me? Now, I'm just kind of curious. Do you think maybe he's some sort of watcher who is sent here to record tragic events as they occur? And, you know, report it back? And I know this sounds strange, but it's more, you know, there are allegations and ideas that a lot of UFOs have been sighted around famous points in history.
Absolutely.
You know, when the Pope passed away, they just had video footage of a UFO near Vatican, you know, skyline there, and they couldn't identify what it was. It shouldn't have been there. When the Pope passed away, when there's 9/11, there were some stories of UFO activity before and right after 9/11. Do you think maybe he's there as a watcher to record this information and be a witness to it?
That was certainly one of the first theories. There were hundreds of UFO sightings in the year preceding the bridge collapse that coincided with the Mothman sighting. Very well documented, public in the newspaper, police reports. And John Keel, who wrote the Mothman Prophecies, was probably the first person to connect Mothman with UFOs. There hasn't been any specific evidence except the timing that connects Mothman to UFOs. Other people believe that there might be like a tear in the space-time continuum or something, that this creature has come through. And still others think he is something cryptozoological like Bigfoot or Loch Ness that is always here, just not easily seen.
Okay. Now, when he makes his appearance, though, does he communicate? I know in the movie, sometimes Richard Gere would get a phone call, and it would be a cryptic warning. Is there... Have people made contact and able to talk to these things?
In that story, that's kind of a mix of a couple of different stories. Mothman does not directly communicate with anybody. He does seem to have some mind communication abilities. People will feel like he's speaking to them in their mind.
Okay.
But they almost always is some kind of an electromagnetic interference, like the phones will ring or the TV will go out or there's static or something like that. Almost invariably, there's that reported around Mothman. But he does not actually speak to anybody. The only sound he makes is a really high-pitched beep sound, kind of like a bat.
All right. Now, have you ever seen Mothman yourself?
I have.
Okay. How many occasions?
Just once. I was quite young. I was 8 or 9 years old, so it would have been, probably around 1970. And I saw him from a passing car in broad daylight, which is fairly unusual. And in my young mind, I thought it was a man in a wetsuit. He was very muscular, just kind of standing there in the field, watching us drive by. I didn't feel frightened because he didn't do anything scary. You know? And when you're a kid, it's a whole different perspective. You know? My parents, to this day, don't talk about it.
Oh, so the parents saw it as well?
I don't know.
They
will not discuss Mothman with me at all.
Really?
Really.
Have they given you a reason of why they won't discuss Mothman with you?
No, they just won't touch it.
Huh.
Now, part of that, I'm sure, is that they knew people who died in the Silver Bridge collapse. And the locals in that area are they're still very hurt by that event. But I also think they just don't want to be a part of it.
Now, what caused the bridge to actually collapse?
Officially, it was a weakened link. The bridge was supported by a series of eye bars. And one of those eye bars, over time and regular use, had weakened and broken. There was another bridge built exactly the same north on the Ohio River. And after the Silver Bridge collapsed, they closed that one as well.
All right. Now, do they believe then that the Mothman had something to do with weakening the link?
Most people don't.
Okay.
Most people think that it's a completely separate incident. Mothman was actually sighted a full year before the bridge collapsed.
Oh, so it wasn't like he showed up and then 2 days later the bridge collapsed.
Right.
It was a full year before any of this actually occurred.
Correct.
So the movie was way off in any of its portrayal of it. There was more just Hollywood's legend and stories again. Okay.
Yeah, the movie didn't even get the number of casualties right. So I don't put a whole lot of credit in that movie.
Damn
you,
Richard
Gere. One of the interesting
Gere.
Things about it, though, Mark Pellington was the director of the movie.
Right.
And Lorne Coleman, who is a respected cryptozoologist,
has
created something called the Mothman Death List. And this is a list of people who have had unusual deaths who are related to Mothman in some way. Mark Pellington's wife died of a brain tumor not long after the movie was released.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of eerie. It kind of gave us all the willies.
Wow. Now, did you have something to do with the filming of the Mothman movie?
No, and most people in Point Pleasant did not. They actually filmed it in Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right. Now, you said that you're into cryptozoology. Are there other creatures that have been sighted in conjunction with him as well?
Not in conjunction. There are other creatures in the area. There's something called the Flatwoods Monster, which was in Flatwoods, West Virginia, about, oh, maybe 100 miles away. And Kentucky has a monster. And, you know, there's always Loch Ness and Sasquatch and all of those. But Mothman doesn't seem to have any companions.
Okay, so he's not sighted around Bigfoot sightings a lot or anything like that. He's his own independent entity.
Right.
Well, what are your theories on the Mothman? What do you believe that he is here for, and does he serve a purpose?
I tend to believe in the cryptozoology side. They originally said he was a sandhill crane, which is completely ridiculous. A sandhill crane is very obviously a bird and does not get to be 7 feet tall, even if it was, did happen to come to the area. But that's what they said in 67, and a lot of people still cling to that belief. I personally believe he is some sort of naturally occurring being. But, of course, there's no proof in any direction.
Well, naturally occurring being, like what, do you believe that he lives all the time in this dimension and on our Earth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is he able to cloak himself, or is he just always around? He just tends to keep himself hidden away.
I think he's just really good at hiding.
Okay.
Much like the sea monsters can submerge and you can only see them when they want to be seen, I think Mothman is a lot like that.
Now, do you believe that there's more than one Mothman?
Yes.
So it's a family kind of deal that's all over?
I think that they're all over the world. They've certainly been seen all over the world. Austria, UK, just everywhere.
Now, cryptozoologically speaking, Bigfoot and sea creatures have been well documented for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Cave paintings, you know, Indian lore, things like that. Is there anything to follow Mothman as well in that type of zoological history?
Yes. Everything from Thunderbird to a Japanese tradition of a large bird shaped like a woman. Many, many thousands of years worth of those kinds of things.
All right. Has it been depicted in cave drawings or Indian artwork at all? Native American artwork? I apologize.
Well, that depends on how you interpret it. If we're talking about the Thunderbird being the same thing as a Mothman, then yes. But, you know, it's a matter of perspective. The Thunderbird is clearly depicted as a large bird with a beak and all. And most Mothman witnesses say that they didn't see a beak. So, you know, we kind of don't know. So I guess my best answer for that is I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's good. I don't want you to fluff it for me here. All right, so if these creatures exist and they're around, you know, how is it with urban, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here, Tim? My mind is completely blank. No, with, you know, the spread of
urban sprawl.
Yeah, urban sprawl and people building houses and, you know, putting up new strip malls and shopping centers everywhere and encroaching on the environment so much. How can there not be more sightings of Mothman or photographs or Bigfoot or any of these creatures, do you think?
I think a lot of it has to do with not being in the right place at the right time. Most of us don't walk around carrying a camera. But when you see something like this, the opportunity is just not there to take a picture. But I also think that they do tend to, like most wild animals, stay away from urban centers. And as we expand, I think that their area is getting smaller and smaller. And I'm hoping that means that, well, the good news, I guess, would be that we would be able to see something better. Certainly, I think in the case of things like the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot, more people are looking. And hopefully that means that more people will be seeing.
Well, Loch Ness Monster, now, I mean, they've pretty much debunked the Loch Ness Monster as probably just being an oversized eel. So much of the footage now, because cameras have gotten so high quality, they've been able to tell these humps that are cruising through the water are actually a ripple wave effect that's just normal off the lock. You know, and they've come out and pretty much debunked every photograph, and even that famous photograph of the head and neck sticking up out of the water has been debunked. You know what I mean? Do you believe that actually still holds any merit that there's a Loch Ness Monster other than just maybe an oversized, pumped-up eel?
I think that we have to respect the many, many years of witnesses. I'm not saying that, yes, this is something supernatural or paranormal, but I think that there's certainly something to watch for. And because we see the similar things in other lakes, like Winnipeg and Lake Erie supposedly have a monster, and the one in Vermont or New Hampshire. I don't remember the name of the lake. But many, many large bodies of water have similar monsters.
Right, but a lot of these are man-made locks of water that have been, you know, like Loch Ness was a man-made lock. how would a prehistoric creature make its way from wherever it was into this lock?
Well, there you go. And obviously it had to have come somehow.
Is that what they did in that one Star Trek movie, Tim? They went and got the blue whale and brought him back, and do you think maybe they just did that with dinosaurs too?
Heck yeah.
Kirk and Picard are dropping off.
Oh, that'd creatures. Be cool.
Yeah, that's it. That must be the answer.
So maybe we're dealing with a pterodactyl when it comes to Mothman.
Well, that very well could be. Now, there are quite a bit of stories being circulated about a pterodactyl-like creature out in New Guinea somewhere.
Yes, and it's particularly interesting in the Point Pleasant case because the main sighting area is an old TNT manufacturing plant for the war.
Right.
They were making munitions there, and it's a major cleanup site now for the government and lots of chemicals and things like that. So there is some discussion about whether this is a mutant something. So if we're starting already with something unusual and then it mutates into something else, we could be dealing with anything.
Well, yeah, because that's what I'm worrying about, is there are some creatures. I mean, we're still finding that there's creatures that we've thought extinct that are still around and among us. There are places that just have not been researched well enough. There's not enough information on these different creatures. But over the year, Tim and I have talked to experts on Bigfoot, on these werewolves, on, you know, Chupacabra, on now the Mothman. I just have a hard time believing all these phantasmical creatures can coexist. Do you believe they are more maybe an interdimensional creature? That's why they're not here all the time or seen?
I certainly think it's possible. I'm a big believer in those kinds of things, like apparitional activity, poltergeist, and I do tend to think that there's some way they coexist with us without being seen all the time. And I certainly think Mothman would fit into that category.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest this evening is Robin Pyatt Bellamy, and she's kind of a cryptozoological fan here. She's one of the experts on the Mothman. She's talking to us a little bit about the Mothman, and we'll be talking to her as well about other paranormal activity. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
I am Greenblock 6, and when I am in your galaxy, I listen to Dave and Tim on the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730. Or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Mommy!
Get in there.
Leave me alone!
Do you have ghosts?
Do you have dreams?
Do you have an interest in the unknown? Want to know more about the paranormal? Come and join us in Para-Investigators, the 24/7 online paranormal chat. Visit us today at InfinityParanormal.com and tell us what's been keeping you up in the dark.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you very much for joining us. I do want to remind you that we are helping out a charity by the name of Charity Checks. You can give the gift of giving, and you can do this year-round. It's an awesome opportunity for you to go out of your way to help other people. Instead of just giving another gift to somebody that they don't need, you can give the gift of a charity check. What a charity check is you make a donation to Charity Checks. They will send a blank check out to you that you can then fill out. Give to the person so they can give it to whatever charity they want to support. It makes a great gift for, especially for funerals, for weddings, for birthdays, anniversaries, for people that just don't need any more presents, don't need any gifts, and don't want to take flowers for funerals. You could do this and make a donation in the name of the person. It'd be an awesome opportunity. You can get more information about that by going to charitychecks.us. Again, that's charitychecks.us. They're a friend of the show. Make sure that you check them out. I also want to welcome our friends from Planet Paranormal. Thank you very much for listening to us on Planet Paranormal. And now you can never miss an episode of Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show, because if you go to Planet Paranormal and click on the Darkness radio link, you can actually go in there and subscribe to our podcasts so they're delivered to you automatically, and you can choose the delivery method so that every time a new show is posted, you get it. So if you can't listen live, you can make sure to catch one of our replays. We're going to go back into the show this evening, and our guest is Robin Pyatt Bellamy, and she's a professional researcher of the paranormal and currently living out in Toronto, Ontario. And she's been involved with the Mothman for a while, doing investigations in, or research, I should say, on the Mothman. Now, you said that you saw the Mothman when you were a child. People that you associate with, friends, relatives, things like that, do you have more people that are buddies that have also happened to see the Mothman, or are you just kind of on your own except for meeting new people along the way?
I'm on my own. Most people think I'm a complete nut.
Well, there's a good reason for that, Robin, but I don't think it has anything to do with Mothman.
You're probably correct. aside from the Mothman Festival every year, I don't run into many witnesses.
How many people come to the Mothman Festival?
Oh, my goodness, it has grown by leaps and bounds. Numbers in the hundreds. And for a little town like Point Pleasant, that's quite overwhelming. This year, I was fortunate to meet Linda Scarberry for the first time.
Okay.
She was one of the original witnesses back in the 60s.
Sure.
And Merle Partridge, who was also sort of a witness but in a different town, was there a couple years ago. So it's a really good opportunity to get some kind of hands-on information.
Well, now, you're also a paranormal researcher and investigator. What got you into the paranormal side of things?
Well, I moved to Toronto in 2000, and about a year later, maybe a year and a half later, saw something weird in the woods. My husband and I were out driving, and we're in a natural area, and this thing was walking around. It was upright, like kind of like a bear.
Right.
So I came home and started looking on the internet to see what this could be, because I'm not that familiar with Canada, and found an organization called Toronto Ghosts and Hauntings Research Society. And they had an online course and a free class and a test, and I took it, and the next thing I knew, I was researching.
Okay.
So I've been at this for about, I guess, 4 years, maybe 5 years.
Well, what do you believe that it was that you ended up seeing out there?
I know it was not a regular animal. Nothing is native to the area that fit that description. And because my husband also saw it, and he is totally not a believer in anything weird, we just don't know what it is. It's an ongoing case now with PsyCan. And other people have also reported seeing this thing. And
have you checked in the local area to see if there are people that own exotic pets, that maybe that's what you're seeing?
I think it would be unusual. This thing is probably 7 feet tall. I'm certain that there are laws against it, but it is, I suppose, possible that somebody's keeping a large monkey or something.
Well,
but it's highly unlikely.
It seems, Tim, to be a cryptozoological creature, your best bet is to be 7 feet or taller.
Right.
I wonder if you get rejected from, like, the cryptozoological creature society if you're smaller. What the hell are you?
Well, I'm like an orphan.
I'm sorry, you're 6'2". We can't use you in our field.
Yard gnome.
Yes, exactly. So they're all about 7 feet tall. So you saw that. That got you into this. Now, how about with paranormal research? Have you seen ghosts?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially in Point Pleasant. In fact, my next book is about a hotel in Point Pleasant, and it has quite a large selection of ghosts. Point Pleasant seems to be what they're calling a vortex. Lots of different things happen in that area that are paranormally based. Lots of UFOs, lots of ghosts, lots of people who have precognitive dreams. Point Pleasant is your home for that stuff.
Are there any nuclear testing facilities in the area or waste
not
dumps?
Not close. I think the closest is in New York.
Okay. At least not that we're aware of, right?
Right.
Government conspiracy stuff, Tim. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put my co-host on that, then we're going to have him start going out to research Point Pleasant. I'm going to send him out with a water testing kit and a corkscrew to, you know, take core samples.
And a tinfoil helmet.
Yes, exactly. They're checking out his brainwaves now.
I do know that somebody reported seeing a three-eyed fish in the Ohio River.
You're watching Simpsons episodes, aren't you, Robin?
Ooh, that looks mighty delicious, Miss Simpson.
There are lots of power plants and, coal-powered power plants and chemical companies in that area, though.
Well, see, then don't you think that maybe some of that runoff is what's affecting the people in the area and giving them the precognitive dreams and the...
I think that is very possible.
Have they done any research on that you're familiar with?
Not that I'm aware of. That takes some money, and unfortunately, people don't like to hand money over to paranormal investigators.
Well, I wouldn't even think paranormal investigations. I would think that they'd be on that to kind of check the area if there's all these claims of mental abilities and seeing things, that maybe it's time for those places to step up and check to make sure they're not poisoning the water or the airways there.
But unfortunately, that you would have to convince a scientist or a medical doctor that precognition actually exists.
I wonder if we could just convince Jack Klugman,
because
he played a doctor. Maybe he could get some money for us.
Is he still living?
Yes. Oh, please. Oh. You're hurtful.
Barely.
Hey, now, Jack Klugman's doing fine. Then again, something to consider. You never see Jack Klugman and the Mothman at the same place at the same time.
There you go.
So there could be a correlation. I'm not quite sure. With this investigations that you've seen, now you've seen ghosts at this hotel yourself?
Yes.
Okay. How many ghosts?
Apparitionally, I've only seen one.
Okay.
There are many reports of other things. They have one ghost that is a former maid. She worked there for 26 years, and now she leaves cleaning stuff in the rooms. And this could easily be dismissed as the current hotel staff doing that, except that the things that we're finding are not the brands that the hotel uses.
So she's all, I'm dead, do it yourself?
She apparently keeps doing it after she's dead.
Wow. So they're finding competing brands of cleansers.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, well, where do they, I mean, how does a ghost, you know, come up with Ajax when everybody else is using soft scrub? Where does the ghost get the money for that stuff?
I don't know. Maybe
Robin, we need more research. Come on.
I'm up for it.
You've
Let's
got
go.
The license. Come on. Research these things.
We need to do one of your trips down to the Low Hotel.
I think we're going to now. You give me the name of the hotel. When we get off the phone here, we'll talk about it, and let's see about going out there. We'll check out Mothman, UFOs, and ghosts. How's that
sound? Oh, that'd be great.
All right, let's go back into a little bit more then with the stories of the ghosts and the apparitions that they're seeing in that area. Now, you said that there's also UFO activity. Is there alien activity? Could the Mothman be nothing more than an alien?
I think it is possible. I'm not aware of anybody reporting that they've been contacted. Mostly what we're getting is just the reports in the sky. And that's actually fairly common all up and down the Ohio River Valley. And at the time, back in the late 60s and early 70s, nobody really thought much about it, because it was one of the testing grounds for airplanes from the Navy and the Air Force.
All right.
The River Valley provides a great place to test new airplanes. And they would come out of Dayton, Ohio, and break sound barriers, and we'd have sonic booms and all that sort of thing. So people in the area were used to that. And it was hard to tell what was a UFO and what was a test plane.
Sure.
But now that we know the history of the testing, a lot of things that people saw were not coming out of Dayton, Ohio.
What all, now you've mentioned all the stuff is going on out in the Point Pleasant area. Is there, you know, are the towns surrounding this having effects or seeing this stuff as well? You know, or is it just that seem to be centered in right in that specific area?
I would say for about a 50-mile radius, there's an increased activity. Benton County, Ohio, has for hundreds of years been reported to be fairly paranormal. They've had more than their share of things like witches and occult groups and things like that, as well as in the Athens, Ohio area. Charleston, West Virginia has had lots of UFO activity. So I think it's probably, you know, 100 miles across in any direction.
All right. Wow. All right. So you've got a pretty widespread attack going on out there, or whatever it is that you're doing. Do you believe, you know, yourself that this has, I mean, do you believe it's a paranormal nexus, like you were saying, that other people are talking about, or do you believe it's just coinkydink, or do you believe that people are just a little bit more open in this area, so maybe that's why they're seeing and witnessing this, and it could be going on around us all over the United States?
I think it's a combination of things. I do think that more things do happen in that area, but I also think that most of the people who have been there a long time, say 6 or 7 generations, are more likely to believe it. These are old-fashioned folks. These are old-fashioned country folks who grew up with things like healers and the local medicine woman and things like that. So they understand deep in their core that some people have special abilities. But I also think that a lot more happens in those areas.
Yeah, it just seems so strange to me that all this is going on and there's not more interest from even the paranormal field. You'd think that there would be a lot more research from major paranormal groups and things like that that would be out there checking this area in a, you know, maelstrom for UFOs, Bigfoot, Mothman.
Most people won't touch the Mothman with a 10-foot pole.
Why is that?
There's no, aside from some footprints that were seen at the original sighting, there's no physical evidence whatsoever. It's all witness reports.
Yeah, but there's no physical evidence of Bigfoot.
Well, you do occasionally get the hair on a limb or something like that, but...
they usually end up finding out that hair on a limb belongs to a bear or a monkey or whatever the hell they think it's out there, you know?
Yep.
Huh, that's interesting. So now you're out in Canada, you're doing investigations out there. How do, you know, I mean, are you finding hotspots wherever you go, or is it just... Robin, are you inciting these paranormal things or what?
Most of what I'm finding is squirrels in the attic, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, really?
When we go out to do an investigation, we take all of the standard equipment. And one of the things that we take is a microphone with a parabolic dish, and that increases our ability to hear things. And usually what we end up hearing is that the sounds are coming from squirrels in the attic, which is kind of a fun thing because then you've got an answer for the funny noises and stuff.
Right.
But every once in a while you get something interesting like an electronic voice phenomenon or... a ball of light that you can't really explain. I teach for the Toronto District School Board a ghost class, and we were on location one time, and we were talking about the history of the area, and as we were walking away, a shutter that was nailed closed suddenly flew open.
Well, that's interesting.
And that sort of thing does tend to follow me around. I don't know whether it's because I watch for it or because I'm a magnet for freaky stuff.
Sure. Well, do you believe yourself to have any kind of psychic or sensitive abilities at all?
I don't think any more so than the normal person. I think we all have some ability that we're just not tuned into. I do tend to be very intuitive, but not so much in a paranormal way. I read people very well by their mannerisms and their tone of voice and things like that. And I think we all have an element of that, and that can make us appear psychic.
Okay. Do you believe in the phenomenon of actual psychic ability then?
Oh, absolutely. I certainly have had occasions where somebody has told me something they couldn't possibly know. And that would have to be a purely psychic event. But I think for the most part, it's all just a basic human instinct.
Now, how soon are you going to have this new book out about the hauntings at the hotel that you're working on?
It should be done by spring and printed and available at the Mothman conference in September.
Awesome. Well, you'll have to keep us abreast of that so that we can, like I said, know about that more and let me know what's going on with the hotel so we can start talking to people about it and see what we can do to book a trip out in that area.
I'll send you a copy.
Well, that'd be great. I always like a copy. Now, what can you tell me going forward with your research and the things you guys are doing out in Canada? How do they handle with the paranormal activity as well? As you know, I found different parts of the world have different levels of acceptance. To me, it appears in Europe, people are a lot more accepting of, you know, breasts on TV and ghosts. So what are you finding in Canada? Are they a little bit more provincial? Are they, you know, a little bit more open-minded? Are they a little more closed-minded to the subject? What are you finding?
I would say they're somewhere between Europe and the U.S. They're certainly more liberal than the U.S., but not quite so much as Europe.
All right.
And especially in the paranormal realm. Up here, they like everything to be very cut and dried. They like to understand. And sometimes there's just no way to understand.
There's no shades of gray to them. It's all black or white, huh?
Right. So we do a lot of standardized scientific stuff just to see if there is some kind of real answer. And after that, all you can do is just keep a log.
That's true. Well, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Robin Bellamy, and we'll be back more with Robin right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pip at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6, 2, and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resorts are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Russ Clark. If you're a regular listener of Darkness Radio, by now you have certainly heard my radio commercial regarding my hypnosis products. Well, I'm here today to tell you that these products work. These products have worked for many, many people, including some listeners of Darkness Radio. I stand behind my product 100%. If you give it a try and you find it doesn't work for you, you can always return it to me for 100% of your money back. Plus, I'll pay to ship it back to me. That's how convinced I am this will work for you. In addition to that, you can contact me via email anytime with any questions that you may have. I promise this will work for you. So if you want to quit smoking, lose weight, become less stressed, manage some pain, or beat some insomnia, definitely check out my website at www.powerhypnosis.net or call 866-570-3544 and ask for me personally.
About the paranormal. Come and join us in Para-Investigators, the 24/7 online paranormal chat. Visit us today at InfinityParanormal.com and tell us what's been keeping you up in the dark.
Do you love to travel? Do you love to explore the paranormal? Then join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show as we take our show on the road. January 14th and the 17th, we'll be going to sunny Long Beach, California to investigate one of the top five haunted spots in the world, the haunted Queen Mary. Joining us on our journey are the lovely ladies of TV's The Ghost Hunters, Donna LaCroix and Lisa DeWallaby, paranormal investigator Patrick Burns from Court TV's hit new show, Haunting Evidence, and psychic-sensitive Chris Fleming from Dead Famous on the Biography Channel. Together, we'll explore the mysteries and history of this famous floating haunted playground. Joining us will be some other special guest speakers and authors. It's a great chance to meet others that are involved in the paranormal and share your interests. For more information and prices, visit our website at darknessradio.com, then click the Trips tab, then click on the Queen Mary. Remember to check back for information on upcoming trips as well. And tune in live each Sunday night to hear a new episode with Dave and Tim and their guests covering all aspects of the paranormal on the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the seven bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to the Darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. Thank you very much for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Again, we're live every Sunday night. You can go to our website at darknessradio.com, where you can listen to our show live every Sunday night, where we're on from 10 to midnight Central Time. That's 11 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time. If you can't make it up that late, we always have the show on our website available for download by the following morning. If you're listening to us out on WNJC 1360 a.m., we are on every Saturday night from 10 to midnight in your time area. We hope that you enjoy the show. Please check out our website at darknessradio.com. We've got information about our trips. We've got information like our discussion boards where you can go on and talk with other fans of the paranormal and share your stories, insights, ideas, thoughts. It's a great little place to join up on. You can read information about all the guests that we've had on the show. We also have an archive of every one of our past episodes, and you can download them there, or you can go to our site at planetparanormal.com. There's fantastic radio shows on there as well. You've got Taps Pararadio. You've got Chris Fleming Spirit Talk. You've got the guys from Ghostly Talk. You've got Todd Sheets Night Watch. You've got Fiona's on there. You've got a fantastic display of different radio shows covering all different aspects of the paranormal. We invite you to check that out. And again, if you go there and click on the Darkness Radio tab, you can click on their little link and you can subscribe to our podcast so that you never miss an episode and that you can always download it into your MP3 player, burn it on discs, whatever, take it out. Share them with your friends. We'd appreciate you spreading the word about the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Getting back into the show, our guest, as I mentioned, is Robin Bellamy, and she's a paranormal investigator who has a background with the Mothman, is into cryptozoology. Her hobbies include long walks on the beach, and she likes knitting. Now, let's talk a little bit about the book that you've written, which is called, again, it's Haunt Cuisine, correct?
It is.
What was the inspiration for putting this book together?
I did it on a dare.
Wow. Tim and I dare you to go out and lick one of those metal poles when it's really cold out. Get the camera, Tim. Get the camera. So you did it on a dare.
It wouldn't make much money. Now, yes. I was the chief financial officer for PsyCan for a while, and we were talking about some fundraiser ideas, and I said, well, why don't we do a cookbook? And they said, oh, no, we're not going to do anything like that. It won't make any money. So I went ahead and did it anyway, just for my own sake, and had a ball doing it, and it's selling quite well, thank goodness. And it's a very unusual little book.
Well, where can people go get this book?
You can only get it from me, because I don't have anybody to do the marketing.
Okay.
So if anybody is interested in marketing this thing for me, please let me know.
Sure.
But I do have a website, robinbellamy.com, and you can get it there. It's only $20. That's 114 pages, fully indexed. And it's a collection of recipes, but each recipe has a ghost story with it. And they're all reported as true.
Are these like haunted Jell-O molds and possessed devil's food cake?
Well, or kind of, yeah.
A little bit. So if you make this, you're guaranteed to have a haunting? How does this work?
No. Well, one of the recipes that I always like to use as an example is homemade scratch pancakes. This is not your Aunt Jemima stuff. This is get your own flour. And the story that goes with it is about an author by the last name of Pancake who still haunts his original home.
Okay.
There are stories about, there's a pineapple upside down cake recipe with Hawaiian ghost stories attached to it. There's a Wisconsin one that goes with a Spam recipe because Wisconsin is where Spam's from.
Do you have like a nice...
Time out.
Wait a minute.
Spam is made by the Hormel Company in Austin, Minnesota.
Okay, maybe it's Minnesota.
All
yes,
right.
It
nice
is.
Going, Robin. Way to defile the good people at Spam.
Offend the Minnesota boys, why don't you?
That's right. Is there anything like a nice hot apple pie a la Poe?
And
it's all about
good.
Edgar Allan Poe and his...
There is a Hungarian goulash.
Excellent.
Get it?
Goulash. Yeah, that's... Okay.
But that's actually the specialty item at a pub that also has a haunting.
Now, where did you get these?
Over the place. Some are from books, some are from the internet site, some are from just what people have told me that they've experienced.
Really? Did you put in like the ultimate Bloody Mary drink? Things like that?
No,
the screaming zombie drinks? See, that's what your next book has to be.
There we go.
The paranormal drink book. Because they've got, what do they got? They got the zombie, they got the brain muncher. They've got the screaming orgy. Okay, that
the
one.
The slippery
won't be good.
Nipple.
Yes, no, yeah, those are not right.
No,
that sounds
no.
like a much more fun book to read.
Yes, it would be interesting at least. So you've got this book out. You people can pick it up. It's only $20. And is it helping to raise money for your paranormal group?
Nope, it's going to me.
Going to you. That's an excellent cause.
Actually, I don't make more than a couple dollars off of each of them. It was more just a product of love.
Oh.
And my mother illustrated it and put it together and edited it for me. So it's my first effort. I had not written a book before. But the next one is a little different. It's going to have a lot of historical references and talk about Chief Cornstalk and the Native Americans. And
now, are you getting this? Did you self-publish this book then?
Yes.
Okay. So is the next book going to be self-published as well, or do you have a publisher that you're working with?
I think I will self-publish it. I've really enjoyed having complete artistic control.
Mm-hmm.
I do have my own ISBN numbers granted from the government, so I think I may do this myself again.
Is it so you can swear in the recipe books and not have to answer to anybody?
Please.
How to make this damn cake.
I swore a lot formatting it. Does that count?
Yes, that's perfect. Perfect. We do have a link on our website, too, for Haunt Cuisine. You can go click that link, and it'll take you to Robin's site so that you can order the book. You can also contact her there if you have any stories regarding the Mothman, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And, I mean, do you get stories in quite often? Do you get people contacting you to tell you about this stuff?
I get a lot of ghost reports. I don't get a lot of Mothman. Mothman is a little bit obscure. He hasn't been seen in the U.S. in a few months, so I'm not really hearing much about him lately. I think Austria was the last report we got out of that one.
Well, now let's talk a little bit, you know, with the Mothman stuff. You did the show Sci-Fi Investigates.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go for you?
It was fascinating. I was really impressed with that team, and I know that they took a bit of a critical hard knock, but the team were four people. One of them was Boston Rob,
right,
from Survivor,
uh-huh,
and he was interesting. And then there was a CSI.
He's dreamy.
she was actually quite science-oriented and a very nice young woman and quite good-looking, from what I understand. A UFO historian out of Rochester, New York.
Right.
And an archaeologist.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have some what I would consider quality researchers. And they seemed genuinely interested, and they didn't make fun of anybody, which I thought was quite good of them, because this is the kind of topic that could very easily have gone bad.
Well, it's called Sci-Fi Investigates, not Sci-Fi Lampoons. They should probably take it seriously, right?
Well, you would hope so.
Hey, I like the theory of that, though, Tim. We just came out with a brand new TV show, When Paranormal Creatures Go Bad, right? See this man mauled to death by the ghost of a bear. That'll be the way it'll be done. So
that'd
you did
cool.
Did the show. Now, how did you feel that, you know, overall, did they find anything? Were they conclusive on the fact that they found nothing? Or did they believe that they found enough evidence to believe that there is something out there?
I don't think that they made any conclusions, really. I think they just wanted to do as most of us do and just report what happened as honestly as they could. I know one of the cast members thought that it was perhaps a mass hysteria kind of thing. But one of the things that they didn't cover was the time that this was. The sighting started in November of 1966, and the bridge collapsed in December of 67. So we're talking about 13 months of this stuff. It wasn't a matter of the bridge collapsed and then they went looking for a reason.
Right.
The Mothman definitely came first. So I think a lot of that was missing in the story. I've only seen the one episode. I don't know how the whole series goes. We don't get that in Canada.
Well, each week they vote off one of the skeptics.
I will.
And last week they ate Boston Rob.
Yeah.
It was sad, but, you know, he had to go.
He's dreamy.
He's dreamy.
Well, he's a lot of fun. He can really put away the liquor, though.
No. Ah! Come on now. You're perpetuating a myth about Bostonians.
I know you want the dish on this, and yes, Boston Rob can put away the liquor.
Oh, all right. Okay, come on. What other paranormal stories can you tell us? Was Boston Rob, you know, hitting on the chicks while he was out there?
Actually, no. And he did actually freak out. The part in the story where he says he doesn't want to sleep in the hotel was absolutely true.
Now, is that the haunted hotel that you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is the Low Hotel in Point Pleasant. And he, seriously, he had us call and make sure that there was a room available in another hotel because he didn't want to stay there.
Well, this chuckle nut is supposed to be the skeptic of the show.
Yep.
Wow.
He said he couldn't believe in Mothman, but he did believe in ghosts.
Well, that's kind of a crummy skeptic, if you ask me.
Well, but the real definition of skeptic is not disbeliever.
Right, I know. It's just somebody that doesn't fall for anything, and they're more of a discerning believer.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Well, you got to work. I mean, that's a pretty neat little deal, though, that you got to be a part of that show.
It was great. They flew me down. They rented me a convertible. I had a blast.
They threw you down?
No, they flew me down.
Flew you down. I'm sorry. I got a bad phone. I was going to say, I don't know if that's a way to start. Listen, Robin Bellamy, you'll do it our way, or we'll throw you to the ground and run you over with your rental car.
Boston Rob threw down Robin after a few drinks.
Yes, exactly. We heard it. You heard it here on Darkness on the Edge of Town first.
I know nothing.
Boston Rob was handsy and a drunk. I'm sorry to hear
and scared of ghosts.
Yes. Tim just wants to cuddle him and keep him safe from ghosts.
He's dreamy.
He could have used cuddled. He was really scared.
Was he?
He was.
Well, Tim is the biggest non-homosexual gay guy I know. He's madly in love with Chris Fleming from the TV show.
I'm not in love with Chris Fleming.
A little bit.
I just want to hold him and protect him from the world. Is that wrong?
And Boston Rob the same way.
Yeah, I got enough room for two.
But I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to judge, Tim. This is a whole nother show. Paranormal homosexuality is next week on Maury and Darkness on the Edge of Town. So, all right. Well, Robin, we appreciate everything that you've done and being on the show with us tonight. Is there anything coming up, anything that you want to help promote, mention, anything that you know? Are they going to be rerunning that show anytime soon?
I don't know. Rumor has it that the series has not been renewed, which is unfortunate because I think there are some good things that they could do with that show.
I want to tell you that we have a theory.
Oh, yeah?
I believe that Jason and Grant from the TV show Ghost Hunters, and we're just saying this off the air, nobody else can hear us. I believe that they're like the mafia, and they threaten to kill anybody that has a show after theirs because every show that has aired after Ghost Hunters has absolutely tanked.
Boston Rob must die.
I don't know what happened to Char Margolis. She was on the air. And then what, the year before that, that was that Proof Positive show, and that vanished. It's like the Bermuda Triangle of the Sci-Fi Channel
is
to be in that time slot right after.
Hey, guess what, Dave? We got an offer the other day to do a show right after Ghost Hunters.
Surprisingly.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Jay and Grant offered us the show. Do you think they're trying to make us disappear? All right, so if people want, they can go to your website, though, and they can get the information at robinbellamy.com.
Correct.
And then what is the website for the paranormal group that you're a part of in Canada?
SICAN.org, www.psican.org.
Okay.
Officially, I'm just a consultant with them these days because I've gotten too busy with my own stuff, but they're a great group.
All right. So if people are having hauntings or problems or troubles in Canada and they're looking for help, they can contact you.
Absolutely.
And you'll go in there dressed in nothing but a teddy and a
ectoplasm
blaster. Come on.
That would be scarier than the ghost.
Well, let's come on. Robin, we got to make people excited about the paranormal here. We're trying to get them going. You know, nothing sells sex and paranormal like that, you know.
Yeah, it's a shame, too, that people always try to make things bigger than they really are. Hollywood.
Hey, I don't know what my wife's told you. No, I'm just kidding with you. Robin, thank you very much for joining us here on the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Hopefully we'll have you in the future. Let us know when that book is coming out, and we'll try to arrange a trip out there with you, okay?
Excellent.
Thanks a lot, Robin. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We want you to stick with us because we're going to be back in a few seconds, and we'll be back with the next part of our show. We appreciate you listening, and